Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
You've made your first investment in a real estate syndication. The deal is performing well. You're getting quarterly updates. Everything looks great. And then, sometime in late February or early March, you get an email. Your K-1 is ready. You download it, you open it, and you think, now what? I'm CREI Colin, and this is Building Passive Income, where we give you the strategies to build real wealth through passive real estate investing. A few episodes back, we brought on tax pro Tina to teach you how to read your first K-1. Today, she's back to walk you through what to do after you receive it. Because knowing how to read a K-1 is step one. Knowing what to do with it, how to organize it, when to send it to your CPA, how to track your passive losses, and what to do if something goes wrong, that's step two. Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, Tax Pro Tina here. I'm excited to be back for part two of our K-1 series. In episode 12, we walk through how to read your first K-1, what all those boxes mean, where to find your income and losses, and how depreciation creates those paper losses that reduce your taxable income. But after that episode, I got a ton of questions. Okay, I understand my K-1 now, but what do I actually do with it? When do I send it to my CPA? What if it's wrong? What if I get multiple K-1s? How do I keep track of everything? So today, that's exactly what we're covering. Think of this as your post-K-1 action plan. Let's get into it, Colin.
Perfect. Tina, let's start with the basics. When should investors expect to receive their K-1s?
Great question, Colin. Here's the typical timeline. Most syndication sponsors aim to issue K-1s by mid-March. Some get them out in late February. Others take until late March or even early April. Here's why. The sponsor has to close their books for the year, finalize their financials, complete a cost segregation study if applicable, and then prepare and review the K-1s before distributing them. That takes time. Now, here's what's important. The IRS deadline for partnerships to issue K-1s is March 15th, but that's extendable. If the sponsor files an extension, they have until September 15th to issue K-1s. Does that mean your K-1 will be 6 months late? Usually not. Most sponsors issue K-1s by mid-March, even if they file an extension. But if there's a complex situation, maybe a property sold, or there's a dispute with the lender, or the cost segregation study took longer than expected, the K-1 could be delayed. So here's my advice. Expect your K-1s by mid-March. If you don't have them by April 1st, reach out to the sponsor and ask for an update. And if you're filing your personal tax return, you may need to file an extension to wait for late K-1.
Got it. So the K-1 arrives, I download it. What should I do first?
Here's your K-1 review checklist. Step 1, verify your personal information. Check that your name, address, and social security number or tax ID are correct. If anything is wrong, contact the sponsor immediately. Step 2, compare it to last year's K-1 if you have one. Look at box 1, ordinary income or loss, and box 2, net rental real estate income or loss. Do the numbers make sense compared to last year? If there's a big change, like you had a $15,000 loss last year and a $50,000 loss this year, understand why. Maybe the sponsor did a cost segregation study. Maybe they took bonus depreciation. Just make sure you understand the story. Step 3, look for red flags. Is there income in box 1 when you expected a loss? Is there income in boxes you don't recognize? If something looks off, don't panic, but do ask questions. Reach out to the sponsor or bring it to your CPA. Step 4, save it in a secure location. Create a digital folder for each tax year and each investment. For example, 2025 taxes / ABC Apartments K1. Keep it organized so you can find it when you need it. And step 5, don't file your taxes immediately. Wait until you've received all your K1s from all your investments. If you file early and then receive an amended K1 later, you'll have to file an amended return. That's a hassle.
That makes sense. Now, what if someone has invested in multiple syndications? How should they organize multiple K1?
This is so important, Colin. If you're invested in 5, 10, or 15 syndications, you're going to receive 5, 10, or 15 K1s every year. You need a system. Here's what I recommend. Option 1, create a digital folder structure. For example, taxes, 2025, K1s. Inside that folder, create subfolders for each investment. ABC Apartments, XYZ Storage, DEF Industrial. Save each K1 in its corresponding folder as soon as you receive it. Option 2, use a spreadsheet to track your K1s. Create columns for investment name, sponsor, K1 received, yes, no, date received, ordinary income, loss, box 1, rental income, loss, box 2, total passive loss, notes. This gives you a quick snapshot of all your K1s in one place. You can see which ones you're still waiting for, and you can track your total passive losses across all your investments. And option 3, consider using a tool like Dropbox, Google Drive, or a password manager with secure file storage. Just make sure it's backed up and encrypted. The key is, have a system. Don't leave K1s scattered across your email inbox or your downloads folder. Be organized.
Perfect. Now, when should investors send their K1s to their CPA? And what else should they include?
Here's the best practice. Wait until you've received all your K1s. Don't send them one at a time as they trickle in. Your CPA doesn't want to start your return, then stop, then start again. Wait until you have everything and then send them all at once. When you send them, include all your K1s from all your investments, a summary document or spreadsheet listing each investment and confirming you've included all K1s, any other tax documents, W-2s, 1099s, mortgage interest statements, etc. A note if you're expecting any amended K1s or late K1s. And here's a pro tip. Give your CPA context. If this is your first year with K1s, tell them. If you had a big distribution or a property sale, tell them. If you're planning to invest more this year, tell them. The more context you provide, the better they can plan for you. And timing matters. Don't wait until April 10th to send your K1s. Send them by mid-March if possible. Your CPA is slammed in April, and you'll get better service and better advice if you give them time.
Great advice. Now, what if something goes wrong? What if an investor receives an amended K1 or a late K1? How should they handle that?
This happens more often than you'd think, so don't panic. Here's the scenario. You receive your K1 in March. You send it to your CPA. You file your taxes in early April. And then in May, you get an email. Amended K1 enclosed. What happened? Maybe the sponsor found an error. Maybe they adjusted the depreciation calculation. Maybe they reclassified some income. It happens. Here's what you do. Step 1, review the amended K1. Compare it to the original. What changed? Is it a small adjustment, like a $500 difference? Or is it significant, like a $10,000 swing? Step 2, contact your CPA immediately. Forward them the amended K-1 and ask, do I need to file an amended return? Step 3. If the change is material, you'll likely need to file a Form 1040X, which is an amended tax return. Your CPA will handle this. Yes, it's a hassle. Yes, it costs extra. But it's better than getting a notice from the IRS later. Now, what about late K-1s? If you're still waiting for a K-1 in mid-April, here's what you do. File an extension. Form 4868 gives you until October 15th to file your return. You don't need IRS approval. You just file the extension and pay any estimated taxes you owe. And here's the key. Filing an extension is not a red flag. It's common. Many passive investors file extensions because they're waiting for K-1s. It's better to file on time with accurate information than to file early and then have to amend.
That's really helpful. Last question. How should investors track their passive loss carryforwards after they receive their K-1s?
This is one of the most important things you can do, Colin. Every year, your K-1s generate passive losses from depreciation. Those losses reduce your taxable income, but only if you have passive income to offset them. If you don't, the losses carry forward to future years. They're suspended. They're waiting. And here's the thing. The IRS doesn't send you a letter every year saying, hey, you have $47,000 in passive loss carry forwards. You have to track it yourself. Here's how. Step 1. Create a simple spreadsheet. Columns 4. Year, investment name, current year loss, from box 2 of your K-1, prior year carry forward, total suspended passive losses. Step 2. Update it every year when you receive your K-1s and file your taxes. Step 3. Review it with your CPA annually. Ask them, do these numbers match what's on my tax return? Make sure you're both tracking the same figures. And step 4. Use this information strategically. If you're planning to exit an investment, or if you have a big distribution coming, you'll know how much of your passive loss carry forward you can use to offset that income. This is your tax shield. Treat it like an asset. Track it. Know it. Use it.
All right, let's recap. Receiving your K-1 is just the beginning. Knowing what to do with it is what separates informed investors from everyone else. Here's your post-K-1 action plan. 1. Expect your K-1s by mid-March. If they're delayed, be prepared to file an extension. 2. Review each K-1 for accuracy. Check your personal information, compare to prior years, and look for red flags. 3. Organize your K-1s. Use a digital folder system and a tracking spreadsheet to stay on top of multiple investments. 4. Wait until you have all your K-1s, then send them to your CPA with context and supporting documents. Give them time. Don't wait until April. 5. If you receive an amended or late K-1, don't panic. Contact your CPA, review the changes, and file an amended return or extension if needed. And 6. Track your passive loss carryforwards every year. Update your spreadsheet. Review it with your CPA. This is your tax shield. Use it strategically. Here's your action step. Create your K-1 tracking system today. Set up your digital folders. Build your spreadsheet. And if you haven't already, schedule a meeting with your CPA to review your passive loss carryforwards from last year. If you need help finding a real estate CPA who understands syndications, K-1s, and passive losses, reach out to us at CREI Partners. Check the show notes for a link to schedule a call. That wraps up episode 20. Next week, we're diving into one of the most important documents you'll ever read as a passive investor, the Private Placement Memorandum, or PPM. It's the blueprint for every syndication deal, and most investors don't read it. We're going to change that. Until then, remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision. And it starts with staying organized and working with the right team. I'm CREI Colin. Let's build wealth together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.